eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I was looking at some of the hymns that we find in our United Methodist hymnal that have to do with the Lord's Supper and the crucifixion and this season of the year, which touches us in so many ways and calls us to gather periodically during the week as we journey to the cross and ultimately to the empty tomb. I just happened to come across a hymn written by Charles Wesley. It was just by chance. Of course, there are 323 hymns written by Charles Wesley in the Methodist, not that many, but there are a lot of them. And it's one that we do not sing frequently, but it's hymn number 616. It's "Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast." And I looked at that, that sort of caught my attention, probably because, like Paul, I am among the greatest sinners of all. And I looked and said, "Come sinners to the gospel feast." And I said, that must mean me. And Charles goes on, "Come sinners to the gospel feast, let every soul be Jesus' guest. Ye need not one be left behind, for God hath bid all humankind to come." I looked at this, and for some reason or another, it took me back to my childhood and those days of learning table blessings in the home. Now, I don't know if you have a favorite table blessing that you use or the ones that you teach children, and it's not the one that goes, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub." That one's very easy to learn. The kids pick that one up right away. But there are some others. I'm not going to go into a great number of them. But one is, "God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food." How does the rest of it go? "We are blessed. Yes, Lord." Right on. And we learned that one. That is so very beautiful and so very good. Carolyn and I happened to be out today. We did not use that particular blessing. And we don't do it to make a scene at any restaurant or a public eating establishment, be they fast food or otherwise. But we did take time to have a blessing. And so to try to be nonchalant about it and peaceful, I stood up in the middle of the restaurant and said, "Let us pray." No, we didn't do that. The more I think about it, though, that would be sort of fun. But I love the other blessing that we have used so very, very often. "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed." You use that too. I looked at that, and then I thought about this hymn of Wesley's, which said, "Come sinners to the gospel feast, let every soul be Jesus' guest." Well, the prayer says, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." Well, all right, who's the host and who's the guest? That's what I thought about. Who's the guest this evening as we gather together as the body of Christ? Well, you know, since Maundy Thursday's table leads to whispers of betrayal and then to a garden and then to a trial, and then to a crucifixion, this evening brings with it an awful lot of risk. Whether you be the guest or the host, you're taking a chance in being here this evening. I don't think we often look at this occasion as that kind of an event, where whether you're the host or the guest, you're at risk from an outside element that would seek to destroy the very fiber of that which you believe. Risk serves as a strong undercurrent in a parable that Jesus tells of a wedding banquet in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. You know the parable. I'll just go over it briefly because it's a good parable for this setting this evening. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. Remember it now? A wedding banquet for his son. Invitations went out. Oh, I love weddings. And I get many invitations. In fact, I have one at home now laying on the counter, and it has been there for some time, and I happened to glance at it the other day. And sure enough, the wedding was last week. So I will have to just call the lovely couple and say, I'm sorry, Carolyn forgot. But no, actually, I tell you, the wedding was Miss Hannah Parker. Yes, Hannah Parker just got married. She was in the Navy for a short period of time, and then because of medical reasons, she was honorably discharged after she completed basic training. That's a great time to be honorably discharged. But it proved an awful lot to this young woman that about her capabilities of going through the rigors of basic training and graduating, and it was a great day for the whole family, as was the day of this wonderful wedding. And so here we are. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gives a wedding banquet, and the invitations all went out, and no one came. Have you ever been to an event like that? No one came. All the invitations went out, surely to some of your very best friends and neighbors, those acquaintances, especially those who would give big gifts. They all went out, but no one came. Again, they were invited. The servants were told by the king, you please go and invite them again and talk to them kindly, but make sure they understand that the wedding is on and they are cordially invited. And those who received the invitation made light of it. And not only did they make light of it, but they mistreated the people who were the messengers bringing the good news of the invitation. The king became downright angry and disgusted with the whole lot. So he invites people from the street. I don't want these people I've invited anymore. I will invite others. I will invite the street people. Oh, they're the not-so-good people and mixed with the good people. They're the haves and the have-nots. They're the people who live in the big homes and no homes. They are the street people and the apartment people. They are the prostitutes. They are the homeless and they are the hungry. I will invite whom I so desire to invite, and they all are welcome to come. And they came. They were little less than elite, but they came. But one of those who came was not in proper attire. Have you ever had one of those events that you planned and you invited people and everyone shows up, you know, with a coat and tie or a cocktail dress or some appropriate attire, and then there's somebody else who comes in with cutoffs and sandals, and you say, whoa! Jeff does that now and then. Wait a minute! I mean, everyone looks good but this one person. And one who came was not properly dressed, and he was, to put it politely, cast into the outer darkness and gotten rid of because he was not prepared for the occasion which was about to take place. What in the world was he thinking? Coming as a guest, unprepared for a great event. But then again, what are we thinking? If we come tonight to a banquet and we are not adequately prepared to come to the Lord's table where He is our guest, what preparation have we made for this evening other than trying to beat the clock? What preparation? Are you prepared to be a guest at this table and not the host? Oh, I know the prayer says, Jesus, be our guest, but He is not our guest. We are His guest. Are you prepared to take second place this evening and be a guest and not a host, to follow and not to lead, to be one of the servants and not one who would be served? Are you here prepared to eat based on grace and not merit, that you deserve to be here, that by being here you're better than anyone else who isn't here? Are you here prepared just simply by God's grace to be here? That's what makes this a remarkable and memorable occasion. Are you prepared to eat with one who seeks you with a love that will not let you go, and that once you're in His grasp, He's going to hold on to you for the remainder of your life? Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for that kind of a host who loves you that much that the grasp will be so strong on your life that you cannot get away? Are you willing to take a risk and come to the Lord's table, knowing that there is a possibility that in for a fleeting moment, in the passing of the cup or the taking of the bread or the flicker of the light, that your life will be changed forever? Just for a moment, all of a sudden, something happens. It may be in a prayer or a comment made or just the feel of God's presence. Are you prepared for your life to be changed forever by coming to this banquet? Are you prepared for the spiritual nourishment that comes from a broken piece of bread and a cup of grape juice? And Jesus said, this is my body and this is my blood. Remember me. Are you prepared for that? If you are, if you're prepared this evening, the invitation is still there for you and for me. It's not my invitation. It's always the Lord's invitation, and it's to a wonderful dinner. Easter dinners are always wonderful. I love baked ham and sweet potatoes. I love beans, almondine, and tossed salad, and jello salads. I love fruit salads and special desserts, none of which will be available this evening. But this is a banquet, a dinner, nevertheless. And if you remember that the host has already taken a risk on a hillside near a Jerusalem wall, then you may come. The risk has been taken, and a dinner is served. Amen.